from Heritage this year. And you are senders, and you are great senders. And we are very, very thankful, and especially thankful for those of you that we know are every single week praying for us. And especially thankful for those of you who have the courage to send us emails and challenge us or warn us. One funny story, the Baumans had emailed me, and I had told them that I was preaching through this series on the key doctrines that our church believes, and I was preaching a week. I was really excited because one of the weeks was on Christ. I got 1 week to just preach on Christ, and I told them that. And I think I probably miscommunicated. And they thought I said that I was going to start preaching about Christ in my sermons now, which was quickly rebuked. Why wasn't I doing that all along? And it's great to be able to tell you tonight that Christ is building His church in Menifee. And as I will also tell you tonight, just as importantly, Christ is changing the church planters. And so it's a thrill to be able to try to share both of those things with you tonight. We love California. We love living in Southern California. And Californians are just normal people. Though there are some unique things about Southern California, like there are with any part of the country. Crystal and I both audibly laughed this morning when Brad in his sermon said that Mordecai was right on. Because though Brad wasn't using it quite that way, right on is a very important part of Southern California vocabulary, except you don't say it quite like that. You say, right on, just like that. My introduction to right on was at one of these childbirth classes you take before your first baby's born at the hospital. And they split us up into small groups to get to know each other a little bit. And I listened to these two men across from me have a little conversation that went like this. So where do you live? I live in Murrieta. Oh, right on, right on. So what do you do? I'm a structural engineer. Oh, right on, right on. So what does that mean? Means I examine steel structures to, you know, study their integrity and see if they're safe. Oh, right on, right on. So, do you like doing that? No, not really. It's pretty boring. Oh, right on, right. That is not a joke. Now, what I just told you probably fit your stereotype of Southern California. What I'll tell you now will not. We had snow in Menifee this morning. No joke. One of the men in the church said it was the first time he could remember in 15 years that we had snow. So we're not actually in San Diego, and it's not quite a tropical paradise, though we do love living there. It was right after our ordination service, which was last October here at Heritage. The next morning, we took off in our ancient, oversized U-Haul, which God graciously got across the country in 3.5 days. We got to Menifee on a Thursday early afternoon, and we had our first service that Sunday. And we're very thankful that David and Heather Wilkinson were there already, and we met in their house. Jerry and Renee Dierking, who are both here tonight, were there to help us too temporarily. And they were there, and there was one other family there for that first service, which was 3 days after we got there. And then we had been told that we couldn't meet in an open, and there was an elementary school that had their multi-purpose room was open for use on Sunday, but they couldn't find a janitor, so they told us we couldn't use it. The Lord quickly overcame that obstacle for us. So just 2 weeks later, we had our first really public service there in an elementary school that's really in a very good location in Menifee. And the Lord really worked in remarkable ways in those first couple months. He brought a handful of families to us, not anyone we knew or had any previous contact with. God just brought them. And by the beginning of January, our attendance had gone from the low teens to the upper 30s. And we were having a grand time. And then, of course, we started to learn some of the harder realities of church planning as we got into February and March. We lost a couple of families. We started to see the visitors come and then go. And we continued to do the same things that the Lord had blessed early on, those first couple months. The Lord just didn't bring the same fruit from it that He had brought earlier. And so by about May, I felt like we had gone nowhere from January to May. Now, that wasn't the case. I just felt that way. But as we look back on that now, we can count so many lessons the Lord taught us through the struggles of those months. And I was talking to David Wilkinson Monday, and we were just mentioning how grateful we are that things didn't continue to go as quickly as they went those first couple of months, because God had so many things He needed to do in our lives. And I will share some of those things with you later. In June and July, we did lots of outreach and advertising-related things. We had a booth at the community festival. We had a booth at the kids' festival. We had two mission teams come and help us. Jerry and Renee took off and left. In the middle of that, the Lord also graciously allowed a safe delivery of a healthy baby girl, Abby. So she's now just over 5 months old. And you know, those of you who know us know that both Crystal and I are rather large, of oversized people. And so Abby is following suit. She is in the 90th percentile in weight and the 75th percentile in height. So I still wrestle with the ethics of a church, of a pastor having a daughter as an NFL linebacker. Just kidding. She's the joy of our lives right now. At the beginning of August, after all the craziness of June and July, we started 3 months to get ready for our Charter Sunday, which was scheduled for October 24th, which is pretty close to our first anniversary. So in Sunday school each week, I taught through different distinctives and priorities of our church. And then in the morning service each week, I preached 12 weeks through our doctrinal statement on what we believed. And those are really important weeks when you have people coming from all kinds of different church backgrounds. And we were just, it's just so thrilling that we went through those 3 months and we really didn't lose anybody. Not that we were trying to lose anyone, but it's only God's grace that can take a group of people from widely diverse church backgrounds and just bring them together centered on Christ and a common commitment to His church. And so we got to Charter Sunday, and we had, besides Crystal and I, there were five other families that officially joined Grace Bible Church. And those families understand who we are and what we believe and where we're headed as a church. They are excited. They are growing. They are committed. And it is just a thrill to have that kind of a core that the Lord has brought together. We have two other families that regularly attend right now. Unfortunately, one of those families who's come last Sunday, they came Sunday school, Sunday morning and Sunday night, which was tremendous, but they're trying to sell their house and move to Idaho. And then the other family is planning to join the next couple weeks here. So we were excited when we got to Charter Sunday and we had that group of people that the Lord had brought together. And I want to just mention a couple of the families to you to try to help make this a little more personal, to maybe add some face to this. One of the couples that we have was married later in their 30s after they were both saved in their 30s. And they were attending a large evangelical church, and through time, they came to a conviction that there was a lot of unbiblical stuff going on there. They hadn't seen anything else. God was just doing a work of grace in their heart and using the Word, and they came to the conviction that there was a lot of stuff that wasn't right. And so they started looking for a church, and somewhere around the same time, they're also trying to buy a house, and they had a miserable 9 months trying to buy a house, and they finally ended up having to buy a house in Menifee after that 9 months. And then the house that they purchased was just a disaster from day one. There were all kinds of things wrong with this house. But 2 weeks after they moved in, they got a door hanger from our church, and they came the next week. That was a year ago, and I don't think that they've missed a Sunday since then. And I've heard them tell some people, with a little bit of hyperbole, I realize, that the day they got that door hanger was the best day of their lives. They are just so thrilled to be a part of our church. Another couple is from a friend's church background, and they would openly tell you that their marriage was a disaster. They were filling out divorce papers, and God really started to work in their heart, and it was shortly after that that they got information about our church and started coming. And they have grown very quickly and just shared thrilling testimonies of the change that God is working in their hearts. They haven't been in church settings their whole life, and so they're not really ashamed to say anything. And so they gladly share testimonies about how God is changing them that most of us would probably keep our mouths shut to guard our reputation. But they gladly will tell you what God is doing and how God is changing them. And just 2 weeks ago, that man came to me after the service and he was worried that I was discouraged. And he said, Tim, I just want you to know we're so thankful for this church and for what God is doing here. And don't you get discouraged. You keep going. We really love this and don't quit. And it was just really encouraging to see his heart for us and their eagerness and excitement about what God's doing. We have a single mom who's been so eager to be part of a body. And she said to us, love me, encourage me, rebuke me, keep me accountable. I just want to please God. I don't want you to help me do that. I want you to be my accountability as I try to walk with God and be the right kind of mom for my family. Another family was attending a church, but the worship just grieved them. And so I think there was actually a group of people that would stand outside during the worship. They would be outside the building. And then after the worship ended, they would come in for the preaching. And so they're thrilled to be part of our church. So it's the kind of people that God is bringing and we have the opportunity to minister to. And you could see that even from what I said there, that there are plenty of interesting things in the churches in Southern California. There's one church in Menifee that really dominates. It's several times larger than any other church. It's actually several times larger than Heritage. And it kind of dominates the church scene there. The pastor of that church recently rappelled down out of the ceiling at the beginning of one of his sermons to introduce their new Mission Impossible theme. He had earlier put on a gigantic diaper and drunk from a baby bottle in one of his sermons. And before we started our church, I had attended a service there where he had kids come running out of the side doors with silly string and spray the audience with silly string, and then they ran up and covered the pastor in silly string during his sermon. So that is the kind of form that Christianity has taken in Southern California. Now, there are certainly things that you could say have been negative, though that's not a good word for it, but I think you know what I mean, in our first year. For example, our attendance hasn't grown a whole lot. As a matter of fact, right now, it is lower than it was in January after we had that big start. Now, it's a very different and much more committed group of people that we have, but our attendance is lower. We also have not seen people saved. There have been several times when we were excited and it looked like the Lord may have brought someone into our lives where God had been preparing that heart for the gospel, but then it ended up not being good soil. We haven't had a whole family saved. That's kind of probably most church planters' dream, to see a whole family come to Christ and be in the church growing. Again, there's been a time or two and we thought it looked like that might be happening, and it didn't. So we continue to wait for and pursue the opportunities to share Christ with people and know that God will do that work in people's hearts. So there have been low times. There have been discouraging times. The honest truth is, I've wanted to quit sometimes. I didn't think I would want to quit. I thought, I'm not going to quit. You know, you go into church planning, you got to stick with it long term. I won't want to quit. And then behold, I learned the strength of my flesh. And I thought, I've even thought the grass would be greener on the other side of the fence. I'm only a year into this, and I've thought, you know, maybe I had to go do something else and it would be better, faster, something. Isn't it amazing how strong our flesh is? Now, don't worry, I'm not headed anywhere anytime soon by God's grace. But we have had times when we fought discouragement and we struggled. But overall, it's just been an incredible year of growth. And I've got one more thing I need to tell you before I get to that, which is what I really want to get to. I just want to tell you that some of you probably need to come to California. You don't need to be here, and there are great needs in California, and you need to get busy and go. I was recently with a group of about 10 pastors that I have the opportunity to fellowship with in Southern California. Every single one of their churches is at a situation and of a size where they would be greatly helped by one family, even one person who would just come and say, I just want to serve and I just want to love people. I just want to pour myself into people. That would just change. One person or one family would just change some of these churches and be an incredible encouragement to some of those pastors. And there are churches all over Southern California that are that way. There are church planting opportunities all over Southern California that are that way. So my prayer has been that God would work in some of your hearts and the Lord of Harvest would send more laborers to love the people of Southern California. When David and Heather moved out there to help us, people told them they were crazy. And some of you might think that same thing. Their families thought they were crazy. And in some ways, they've had a rough year, and it hasn't always been easy on them. But I have heard them both say that they have grown more in the last year than ever in their life. And they love that. They love the growth that's going on in their own heart. And last Monday, again, I was with David, and he said, "I can't imagine being anywhere else in the world but right here doing this." And that's even more significant when you realize that they have multiple people in their life right now who've been trying to encourage them to leave and to give up on this, whatever they're doing in Southern California, and offering them work other places. And they just say, "There's no way with what God's doing in our hearts." And I tell you that to tell you that the same thing would happen to you. Whether it's in Greenville or California or China, if you step out in aggressive, radical obedience, pursuing the kingdom of God, what's going to happen is God's going to draw you to Christ and make you like Christ in ways you never imagined could happen. That's what will happen in your life. So God is sovereign. Life is short, so go for it. Don't spend your life playing it safe. You will not regret pursuing the kingdom of God with all your heart. Now, the most important thing that has happened in the last year doesn't have anything to do with the church plant. It has to do with the church planters and what God has done in our lives. And we have grown and changed a lot. In the first couple weeks we were there, I sat down with our team and I told them that we had to remember that the main work was not the church. The main work was the work of Christlikeness in our lives. And we have seen the truth of that in so many ways. Things that happened in the church that looked like setbacks and disappointments were often things that God used to advance the main work in our hearts. And it has been the disappointments and it's been the frustrations that God has used to show us ourselves and to mold the image of Christ in us. And so our focus a year later is still that main work. That's still the main work. And we long to see a strong, stable church there in Menifee, and we work for that. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is for Christ to be shaped in me. And we have seen God do that in so many ways. For example, I have this past year learned to treasure grace. The problem is that you don't really treasure grace until God starts to bring you to the end of your self-sufficiency. And that's exactly what I needed to happen. I needed to be broken of my self-sufficiency. And when I say that, I don't mean that I am now thoroughly broken of my self-sufficiency. Only that God has begun that process. And as God works to break me of my self-sufficiency, you just fall in love with grace. You are just overwhelmed with grace. It's unbelievable. Also, this has been a year of just loving Christ. Just before we left, Mr. Lemon told me that if we just kept Christ the main thing, everything else would be okay. And the pursuit of that is just sheer delight. I just love trying to lift up Christ in our church. I tell our people all the time, we cannot say we are a Christ-centered church. We have to make Christ central. And whether our church is getting that and God by His grace is doing that in their hearts or not, and the people are testifying that He is, but whether it's happening in their hearts or not, it's happening in my heart. I just love Christ a whole lot more a year later than I did last October. We sang that song tonight, "Ask You What Great Thing I Know," and my church people would tell you that I love that song. And we sing that song a lot at Grace. "Ask You What Great Thing I Know, what delights and stirs me so, what's the high reward I win, who's the name I glory in? It's Jesus Christ the Crucified." I love that. That's what our church is about. And the people at our church love that. So I treasure Christ. And I'm so thankful because the only way any of us ever treasure Christ is grace. So those two things go together. Before we left, Mrs. Galusha told me that I would save myself a whole lot of trouble if I just really learned to pray. And I'm a slow learner. And God has had to use lots of hard things to help me see that I really have to pour myself out in prayer. And so another thing I've been learning is to pray. And God, again, is dragging me away from my self-sufficiency. I'm learning to focus more and more on people rather than tasks and goals and outward appearances. It is easy to focus on planting a church rather than loving those people. And I trust it's not true that we haven't cared about people for this last year, but God is more and more teaching me to focus on loving those people and letting some of the other things take care of themselves. And then, will you turn with me to Jeremiah 2? This is one of the things God has been doing in my heart that I want to try to apply for all of us tonight. Jeremiah 2. Jeremiah 2, verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid, and be very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. I know this passage is familiar to you, and it was familiar to me as well. It exposes the folly of giving up a continual fountain that is just bubbling forth with living water and exchanging that for a pit in the ground that is dependent on rainwater, but it's cracked, so it won't even hold that. A cracked pit that won't hold rainwater, or a fountain, a continual fountain of living water, not a good trade, is obviously the point of the text here. But the Lord directed this passage to my heart in a very specific way just a couple weeks ago. And I realized that I was sometimes letting planting a church be a significant cistern into which I was pouring my hopes for satisfaction. As the church looks like it's doing well, I feel great. When things don't go so well, I'm down and discouraged, which means planting a church can become an idol, and church planters can be idol worshipers in worshiping the very ministry that they're involved in. And I think that I've been guilty of that many times. And sometimes my reactions and my emotions and my priorities have demonstrated that rather than the fountain of living waters, Grace Bible Church was the cistern that I was pouring my hopes for satisfaction into. And the challenge for me is, Tim, turn your heart to Christ and seek your satisfaction, your joy in Christ. The special music this morning had the line in the first verse, I nothing lack if I am His and He is mine forever. But how many times has it been true of me that it was that I would have had to have honestly said, I nothing lack if I am His and He is mine forever and the church plant goes well and I have a great wife and a wonderful baby and I'm healthy. You know what that is? That's one fountain of living waters and four cisterns, four idols. Because there can't be any and after I am His and He is mine forever. I nothing lack if that's all I have. And anything else is idolatry. Anything else is a broken cistern. Some of you are in full-time ministry and you might be giving into that same temptation. Christ isn't really your focus. Christ isn't really your love, your vision, your passion, your satisfaction. Your ministry is. It's a cistern. And in the end, you're going to find out, and I will find out, that it's broken and it doesn't hold water. It's not the fountain of living water. Some of you are students and you're determined to get straight A's because you want to get into law school or med school or be a nurse or be a CPA or whatever. And those grades are a cistern that you pour yourself into for satisfaction. And you know that they are because your joy and your peace rise and fall on quizzes and tests. And some of you say, well, that's not a problem. My joy and peace have never risen or fallen on any quizzes or tests. But for you, it might be the basketball team and the basketball championship, and your joy and peace really will rise and fall on whether it's your team or the team you despise. For some of you, it may be work. You do well at your job and continue to work your way up the ladder, and you're joyful and you're satisfied, and you don't, and you're grumpy, and your family doesn't wish you, wishes you wouldn't come home. For some of you, it might even be your kids. As long as your kids get good grades and make their teachers happy and win awards with their musical instruments, then you're happy. Now see, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, right? A church plant, playing basketball, getting good grades, your kids, your job, but none of those things can be the priority in life. None of those things are the bread of life. None of those things are the fountain of living waters. None of those things are supposed to satisfy you. And if you pour your hopes for satisfaction into them, rather than running your roots deeply into Christ, you'll find out it's broken. It doesn't hold water. And if the church plant fails, or the grades go sour, or the basketball team loses its best player to injury, or the child completely forgets half of his recital piece that you've listened to him practice for a year, it doesn't really matter. You're complete in Christ. When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it's well. Why? Because it's well with my soul. And if it's well with my soul, that ought to be it. Period. No more and. Not if it's well with my soul and the church plant's going great. If it's well with my soul, it's well. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. So praise the Lord. So I know that I have sometimes grieved Christ by making that church plant a cistern and forsaking the all-satisfying fountain of living waters. And I know that the truth is that if a church planter does that, he's not going to last. He's going to quit, and he's going to go. And so I praise the Lord that through all of these things, God has drawn myself, and I think drawn my wife, to Christ. And our roots go deeper and deeper in savoring the riches of Christ, and loving Him, and treasuring Him. And the amazing thing is, as God does that work in your heart, that just changes everything that comes out in your ministry. You have a whole new zeal and love and boldness to ministry when God is deepening your roots into Christ. So, praise the Lord, God's building His church in Menifee. There's a lot to be done in the next year, but I think God has brought together a great core of people. And praise the Lord that the church planters are growing and changing. I hope you will pray that souls will be saved, that God will build leadership for our church. You can also specifically pray for next Sunday. We have the opportunity to have Dr. Hay and his wife with us. I think some of you had a part in getting them there for that. Pray that we'll have visitors. Pray that God will work. We have some families that have real messes with their children, and Dr. Hay will be spending the day on parenting. So you can pray for next Sunday, but don't fail to pray for us. Pray that we will continue to savor Christ more and more and more. Pray that we'll see the cisterns and know that they're cisterns and turn away from them by God's grace. Will you pray that for our hearts? And then pray that God will send help and continue to send laborers. So keep praying for the church. Keep praying for us. Let's pray together. God, will you please turn hearts here away from cisterns and turn them to you? God, turn my heart away. Continue to open my eyes to see the things I'm pouring myself into. Continue to open my eyes to see all the places I'm turning besides Christ. Father, by your grace, magnify Christ in our sight. Help us to see Him and to know Him and to love Him more and more and more. And out of that may obedience flow, and may radical Great Commission kingdom kind of work flow. God, would you send some people from here to go, whether it's just to go next door in Greenville or to go to the other side of the world. Send them out with a passion for Christ and to spread the word of Christ. We pray these things because of Christ and His righteousness. Amen.
Amen. Well, I trust your heart is stirred like mine. Kristen leaned over and said what I was thinking. In the middle of that, she said, "Let's go." And we, frankly, if God would lead us to shut this place down, to go to far needier places, that would give us great joy. I hope that would give your heart great joy. I pray that you're not so attached to Greenville that if God said tonight, go to California, or go to Vienna, or go to Timbuktu, that you wouldn't say, "Happily, Lord, I will go." We praise the Lord for the ministry of the Word tonight.